Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Fashion is identity for teenage girls, and one brand, Brandy Melville, has developed a cult-like following despite its controversial one-size-fits-all tagline. Hiding behind its shiny Instagram facade is a shockingly toxic world, a reflection of the global fast fashion industry. Terrific documentary film here called Brandy Melville and the Cult of Fast Fashion. And it is premiering this coming Tuesday on HBO. So be looking for it, as well as streaming on Max. We're joined today by the director, Eva Orner. Eva, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thanks for having me.
I think this is one of those subjects that is difficult to break through to the noise surrounding and our attraction to, right? It's something that I heard years ago about fast fashion, it's been something that stayed in my mind. But when you're a young girl, young woman, and you want to fit in, and there's so much about the world that you're beginning to understand and come to grips with, it's a tough sell. But I'm so glad you made this film, and I certainly think, I hope it finds a target audience that I think will benefit from watching it. Tell me what put you on to this particular subject.
I love fashion. I've always loved fashion. And I think about 7-8 years ago, I wanted to change my buying habits. And I thought, oh, I'll just buy sustainable because that's good for the planet. So I started buying, you know, everything was sustainable. It had the tick, you know, it said organic or sustainable or, you know, ethically made. And I noticed the labels were still saying, you know, made in China, made in Bangladesh. And I thought there was no information on the websites about, how this clothing was made or where it was made or the condition in the factories it was made in. And it just seemed really odd to me. And I use this word a lot when I talk about the fashion industry, opaque. It's an opaque industry. It's very hard to find out what's what. So I started doing some research and I came across the term greenwashing, came to understand that the global fashion industry, which is worth $2.5 trillion and has 70 million employees globally, is completely unregulated. You can have a fashion line with 50 garments you're releasing this week and you have one organic t-shirt and you can say you are sustainable. It doesn't mean anything. There is no definition, agreed definition of what sustainable means in the fashion industry. So, you know, there are companies doing good things. There are companies using it as a marketing tool. And I found that really misleading. And I thought, if I've done all this research and I have no idea how to buy ethically, how is the average consumer meant to do this? And that's where I started. And then I had a meeting with Jonathan and Simon Chin from Lightbox, who made, you know, Searching for Sugar Man and Man on Wire and Tina, these great documentary producers. And we were talking about wanting to work together. And I said, I'd love to do something on fast fashion, but I don't have a story. And they came back to me with Brandy Melville. And I said, yeah, I don't know who that is because I'm not a teenager and I don't have a teenage daughter, even though I live in LA where it's really rife. And I did a dive into it and I thought, this is super interesting. It's a terrible company. It's not just one issue. It's not just racist. You know, this company has so many things that are terrible about it. And there had been an expose that was brilliantly done by Kate Taylor, who's in the film, for Business Insider, and it didn't have an impact. And I thought, okay, this is getting more interesting. And then, you know, when I kind of got my head around the Brandy story, I thought, I don't want to just do an expose on one company because there's been plenty of those and they're really good and valid, but I feel like at the end, a lot of people are like, well, what am I supposed to do? And so I wanted to make the film bigger and take us to understand the context of how we got here and also what we should be doing and also look at the impact on the exploitation of workers and also the devastation to the environment. So I made my job a lot harder because it would have been much easier just telling a very simple story about an expose on a company. But I wanted at the end of the film, the audience to have a bit of an idea of, you know, what they should be doing. And it all comes down to the last line in the film. It's really simple. We just need to buy less.
I had spoken with a documentary filmmaker years ago about fast fashion. And in that documentary, the claim was made that one in every five jobs in the world is related to fashion or to clothing or to attire.
I think it could be one in three now. Here's a statistic for you. We make 100 billion garments are produced annually. globally.
Yeah.
100 billion.
I know. And one of the strengths of the film is that you follow this thread of through the fashion industry, sort of the marketing, the production, the people that are who are the face of fashion, all the way to the shores of Ghana.
Which is something that none of us will ever forget. But the other thing is, it's, you know, it's a story about exploitation of women. So
yeah.
Women make up 80% of the fashion industry's 70 million total workforce globally. And it's this story of exploitation from, you know, the people who work in agriculture, picking, you know, whether it's picking cotton or whatever they're doing there, then it is the workers in the factories who are predominantly women who are being exploited. And it goes all the way to the people on the floor in retail who are being exploited, to the models who are being exploited, to the consumer who's being exploited. And it's, you know, this is the feminist issue of our time. You know, it's a story that affects women more than men. And these young women who are consumers could turn this around. They choose to not buy from these companies. You know, I feel like everyone feels overwhelmed and maybe like, oh, what should I do? It's all too much. And it's like, if you just stop buying, you would cripple this whole industry.
Yeah. You certainly make it more accountable by doing what you just said.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to see. And I'm so glad that the film makes this case. But you've talked about cotton. I mean, obviously it resonates here in the United States. One of the reasons why we became an industrial power, one of the foundational aspects of the American experience was cotton. And what was cotton used for? Cotton was used for clothing. It was used for other things, but clothing. And that sort of colonial, imperialistic approach to the world and how that happened. Again, it's a huge story. It's a huge, but you give us the insight we need to understand it in the context that we need to understand it. Let's talk about Brandy. Let's talk about Stefan. Let's talk about, you know, just sort of what culture he created. And you mentioned the exploitation of young women. I live here in Newport Beach. And just what you're talking, in fact, it's referred to in the film a couple of times, the Newport Beach kind of look, the Newport Beach vibe and all that stuff. It's definitely here, I can tell you that. But yeah, let's talk about the exploitation of women and Stefan, or however you want to approach it.
I mean, what's interesting about this company is, you know, when there's this global company that's making hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars and you go online and there's nothing. I think that's always a big tell. And, you know, I think Kate found this when she talks about it when she did her initial expose, and we found it when we went online. You know, when there's the owner of the company is Stefan Marzahn, and there are literally, his entire business is based on social media. They don't do any advertising. They have an army of young girls making content and advertising their clothes sort of unwittingly for no money. And he's laughing all the way to the bank. But when you go to see what his story is and what he looks like, there are literally three photos of him online, and we looked deep and we used them all. But, you know, when somebody's hiding their persona and their story so much, you realize something's very wrong. And then when you get a hold of the intercompany text and you see a bunch of middle-aged white men making the vilest, sexist, racist, anti-Semitic and so on jokes on a work text chain, and thinking it's funny, that kind of explains a lot of the behavior that's there. I mean, these are, you know, they're pretty despicable human beings. And what they are doing is exploiting really, really young women to the point where they demand that their employees take photos of themselves every day, not just full body, but of their chest and their feet, and send it to senior management and the owner of the company, who then keeps them forever in a dossier. I mean, what is that? Surely that is not acceptable behavior. And I think, you know, hopefully when people see not just one thing that they do badly, but, you know, I feel like the film just sort of is just this continual punch and reveal of more and more horrendous business practices that they have. You know, I hope at the end of the film, a lot of people are like, you know what? I love their baby tees and I think their clothes are cute, which I of course don't, but but you know what? You have to take a stand and you have to make choices in your life. And what kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to support this guy who's a creep and potentially, I would say, a criminal? You know, the other thing that's interesting is he's very vocal about not liking tax and being a libertarian, and nothing is wrong with being a libertarian. But if you have a global multi-hundred million dollar business, and you're boasting that you don't like to pay taxes, I would suggest somebody do an investigation into that as well.
Amen to that. I've mentioned where I live, and libertarianism is the religion of this part of the world that I live in.
Yeah.
And there's always an element, I don't want to take this conversation too far, but there's always a bit of an element of what they called social Darwinism in their conversations. Like, I'm here because I'm supposed to be here, and screw everybody else because that's just the way it is. I see it in this part of the world, in this community, a lot.
Look, it's out there. And again, I think, you know, when girls kind of say, look, you know, I know Brandy's bad, but I love their clothing. It's like, I think it comes down to this, you know, this individuality where you have to say, how do I want to live my life? What choices do I want to make? But then you also have to look at, you know, they're very young girls. And that's where you have to look at, you know, something that's absent from the film by choice. And I think when people talk about the film, this comes up a lot. And it's like, where are the parents in this story? It's okay to give your kids some guidance. It's okay to say no to things. And I think, you know, this company also really boomed because it was sort of this perfect storm of timing with social media. You know, they rode the Tumblr wave into the Instagram wave, into the TikTok era. And, you know, TikTok can be a good thing too. We released our trailer just over a week ago for the film. And in, I think, 5 days, it had 2.8 million views on TikTok, which is phenomenal for a documentary. I mean, we are gobsmacked. And that is the audience for this film. That is young girls.
Yes.
And conversations, when you look on TikTok, are most of them are on the right side. You know, they're condemning the company and they're saying, I used to shop here, I used to work here, I had a terrible experience, I want to tell my story. But there are also people who say, you know what, I don't care, I love myself some booty shorts and baby tees from Brandy Melville. And that's where I say, make your decision on who you want to be as a person.
Just a reminder, listeners, we're speaking with Eva Orner. She is the director of a documentary film called Brandy Helville and the Cult of Fast Fashion. And it is coming out this Tuesday, April 9th on HBO, and will be available for streaming on Max. I couldn't agree more with what you just said. And I mean, the power of young women in this culture of social media is certainly a powerful force. And what you were just talking about can give you a lot of hope, or make you extremely, you know.
I choose hope. Yeah. A great example is the women who are in the film, and I always come back to them. You know, we reached out to hundreds of people. It was really hard to get people to talk in this film. A lot of them are scared. You know, they're really young. They're scared of retribution. They're scared of the owners. They're scared of, you know, they're starting out their careers. They're scared of, you know, future employers not liking them because they're whistleblowers. And the young women who are in this film did not hesitate. They told their stories, they stood up, and they're brave, and they're still all really young. And when they worked there, they were incredibly young. And the fact that they have stood up to this corporation publicly blows my mind. I have so much respect and awe for the women in this film. I think they're the true heroes of this story, and they should inspire other people to speak out and tell their stories as well. It takes a lot to be a whistleblower.
In addition to that, it's the power of investigative journalism. It's the power of oversight agencies to do their job. It's not as if, and with all due respect, it's not as if a lot of people don't know about the exploitation that takes place in the fashion industry. It is an incredibly powerful and very profitable industry, which seems to have shielded it from a lot of this. But it's not beyond the reach of people in positions of responsibility to be able to move forward and at least begin to address some of these obvious issues that are going on here.
We feel like the power's with the companies, but the power's with the consumer. If you stop buying, they're not in business anymore. So I
Amen.
Like,
the ultimate. Yeah.
Like, we have the power to make the right decisions and galvanize.
I agree. I agree with you. Well, congratulations on your work. Yeah, I mean, I really wanted, the pace of the film is wonderful. It really kind of moves along. You get to know people. You get to understand where they're coming from. I just thought it's a beautifully done film in that it tells the story and it tells it very effectively. So my congratulations on that.
I'll shout out to my amazing editor, Claire Didier, who I'd not worked with before, and I want to work together all the time. She's amazing and she's responsible for a lot of that.
Well, congrats. Again, the film is called Brandy Helville and the Cult of Fast Fashion. And we've been joined today by the director, Eva Orner. Eva, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.